I'm going to continue to talk this morning about the case that I raised on Monday, Yongshan's mind and environment. And the commentator to this case says that you know, this is a conversation. This is a conversation between Yongshan and one of his monks. In one source I read, the monk is named unnamed, and the other source, his name is Si Yi, something like that. So there's no record of him, but there's this record of Yongshan. And the commentator says that Yongshan had a conversation in the weeds, and I suppose he means by that that he started out the dialogue with the monk by asking a very mundane question that we might ask anybody these days. He asked, "Where are you from?" And the monk said, "I'm from Yu province." And Yongshan replied, "Do you think of that place?" And the monk confessed that, "Yes, I always think of it." And Yongshan says, "Well, the thinker is the mind, and what is thought of is the environment. And in the environment there are myriad things. There are houses and people and villages and towns and chambers and halls, myriad objects of awareness." And then he concludes by saying, "But what about when you turn your thought back to think of the thinking mind?" And the monk says, "Then, well, and at that time, in that case, I don't see any existence at all. I don't see any existence at all." And Yongshan teaches that his realization is right for the stage of faith, but not yet right for the stage of person. There's a little bit more to that case, which I'll talk about later, but this is the heart of it. This is the heart of the case. Yongshan, his teacher Yongshan, is a very important teacher, but he's not a teacher. And there's, I think, four stories about him in the Book of Serenity. So he gets some ink there. But he's not a teacher in our particular Soto Zen lineage. But his teaching is so consonant with our way. This teaching of reversing your thought to think of the thinking mind. And I talked about this quite a bit on Monday, this fundamental teaching which appears in other teachers' records who are in our lineage, like Yaoshan and Dogen. So there's not, we have these various lineages, but there's not that much of a gap. And particularly with this teaching, we really recognize kind of our home base. Recognize our home base in this teaching. Fundamental Zazen instruction to turn back the light. So I talked quite a bit about that aspect of the case on Monday, and today I want to talk about this phrase this is right for the stage of faith, but not yet right for the stage of a person. So there's a a story within the story of this case, and it's this is a story that the commentator Wang Song tells about Yongshan's practice. So I'm going to just read this paragraph. It says, in the past, as Yongshan was meditating in front of the monk's hall in the middle of the night, he didn't see the mountains, rivers, buildings, people, or even his own body. It was all the same as space. The next morning, he reported this to his teacher, Guishan, who said, I reached this state when I was at Baijiang's. This is just the achievement of melting illumination, which dissolves illusion. Later on, when you are teaching, there can be no one who surpasses this. So, it's a very very explicit story about insight into emptiness. At that time, he didn't see mountains, rivers, buildings, or even his own body. All was the same as space. This, if I may say so, this is the stage of faith. This is the faith on which our school is based, this insight. This is the faith of Bodhidharma. This is the faith of the sixth ancestor. This insight into emptiness. It points to a certain way of knowing that's not dependent on objects. This is the knowing that knows knowing. And realize that I talked quite a bit about this last year at this event, because we brought up Hong Zhe's treatise, short treatise what's it called? I can't remember. Mind and environment. It's basically the same subject. You know, the opening line of that teaching was, you may remember, knowing without touching things, illuminating without facing objects. Knowing without touching things, illuminating without facing, or illumining, I think it says illumining without facing objects. So this is the exact same gnosis. This is the exact same way of knowing that's being talked about last year and it's being talked about right now. And I would propose that this insight is the heart of faith in our school. It's what arises. It is the knowing that arises when you reverse your thought to think of the thinking mind. That basic practice gives rise to this way of knowing that's not dependent on the normal perceptual operation of senses and objects. It's the mind that's not dependent on that normal operation. And to give rise to this mind is to enter the stage of faith. And, so I don't think it would be right for us to hear this and think that Yongshan was, criticizing the monk, like, this is right for the stage of faith, but I got a lot better stage for you coming up here called the stage of the person. I don't think we should ever think of it that way. The stage of faith is the basis. And if you want to hang out in the stage of faith like Bodhidharma did for 9 years facing a wall, then I say go for it. I quoted something else last night online when we were meeting this teaching of reversing your thought to think back on the thinking mind is where a monk goes to work and gains power. As I said last night, it's not power over something. It's power, it's the power of this insight. It's the power of this faith. So we should not think that Yongshan is somehow, he's holding back a little something from the monk, but the monk can, I think, hang his hat for quite a while on this is right for the stage of faith. His not seeing any existence at all. I think he could hang his hat on that for a little while, but maybe he can't. He shouldn't view that. I think what Yongshan is saying is, don't view that as the ultimate good, as the final resting place of your practice life. Don't stop there. And so there actually is some suggestion in the case I guess what you could say, the possibility or the, I think it's more like an admonition. It's an admonition to be careful about the arising of the stage of faith and not getting hung up there, not becoming attached to it, not clinging to the stage of faith. So it's an admonition. And the case says some words of admonition. It says, nowadays, hardly one of 10,000 people reaches this state. And he's talking about, the commentator there is talking about this experience that Yongshan had in front of the monk's hall, where he didn't see objects, he didn't even see his own body. So he says, nowadays, hardly one in 10,000 people reaches this state. But then he says, if they do, then they point to themselves and carry a board, not knowing that by delighting in the road, one ultimately fails to reach home. So you know this image of carrying a board? Oscar knows this image. It's like a carpenter who carries a board. And when he carries the board on his shoulder, he can't see to that side. So this is an image for being, you know, one-sided, not having the whole picture. Actually, Suzuki Roshi used to like to say, I heard, that he liked to admonish people not to be board-carrying fellows. So that's a little admonition there that's in the case. And I thought, maybe Karen will remember this, but back in the day when we were practicing with Richard Baker Roshi, our first teacher, he admonished us to not talk about our practice and not talk about our attainments, not point to ourselves, basically, you know, not point to our insights, our attainments. And I think he was basically saying, be careful. If you delight too much in the road, you might miss the way home. And if you express your delight and say, oh, well, I was sitting in front of the monk's hall, and let me tell you, everything just disappeared. It was so awesome. So, I think I mentioned Monday night, the poem to this case is very difficult, but there's a line that I thought about for quite a while and think I understand it. It says, when the wine is always sweet, it lays out the guests. Though the meal is full, it ruins the farmers. So I think this means that you can have too much of a good thing. You can have you can get drunk on emptiness. You can become attached to emptiness. You can cling to emptiness. And you know, if you're drunk, you're not really going to be, whatever the stage of a person is, it's not a drunk person. It's not a person who is inebriated. So recently we've been, we have a study group, and we've been reading the Platform Sutra in the study group. And I couldn't help but think of some words that we read in the Platform Sutra in the chapter, I believe, about prajna, because it says in the case that that I mentioned about Yongshan's experience in front of the monk's hall, that his mind was the same as his mind all was the same as space. All was the same as space. That was his realization. And you know, in actual what we call outer space, you know, it's mostly space. There's things out there, and we're very you know, interested in the things that are out there, the stars and the planets and the asteroids and the meteorites and so forth. But mostly the vast amount of what's there is space with nothing. You know, that's why the Voyager, the Voyager satellite can go out there forever, forever, forever as it's going. It's still going, right? And they figured out some way to get some information from it still. And, you know, it's not running into anything because basically there's not that much to run into. Anyway, I'm not an astronomer, so don't tell me I'm all wet on that. But anyway, I thought of this. It immediately came to mind a passage in the Platform Sutra that was so reminiscent of Yangshan's experience there in front of the monk's hall, so and his teaching thereafter. So I'll read this passage from the Platform Sutra. It says, "Good friends, don't listen to me explain emptiness and then become attached to emptiness. The most important thing is not to become attached to emptiness. If you empty your minds and sit in quietude, this is becoming attached to the emptiness of blankness. Good friends, the space of this world embraces within itself the myriad things and all the images of form. The sun, moon, and stars, the mountains, rivers, and earth, the springs and streams that enrich plants and forests, bad people and good people, bad dharmas and good dharmas, the heavens and hells, all the great oceans and the mountains, including Sumeru. All of these exist within space. The emptiness of the nature of the people of this world is also like this. If one perceives the goodness and badness of people without ever grasping or rejecting, one will not become tainted or attached. If one perceives the goodness and the badness of people without ever grasping or rejecting, one will not become tainted or attached. For the mind to be like space is called great." So we're sitting sesshin, and this is like an invitation to give rise to a great mind. That's what sesshin is. It's an invitation to give rise to a great mind, to let go of the myriad things, the sun, the moon, the stars, all of it, and turn your attention to the mind or the experience that's just like space. But you know, you do this, and the monk, the basis of the monk's insight was based on the very back to the core teaching, you know, that reverse your thought to think of the thinking mind. That's what gave rise to that insight that, at that time is a very important word. At that time, this is not like, it's not something like we do all the time. We have to go about our daily lives and deal with objects and you know, do tasks and so forth. But I would say the theory, the theory of our practice is that if we spend some time in our lives doing this practice and giving rise to this insight, then it informs the rest of our life. And without making a big deal about it, you know, we don't have to make a big deal about it. It just do the practice, it will inform your life. That and just and trusting that, just trusting that, that that this this knowing without touching things, this illuminating without facing objects, is something we do. It's a, you know, it's you know, we really get into it. We really get into it in sitting meditation. And so I would say, you know, let yourself really get into it. Really get into it. This couple of days, this is what this opportunity is. An opportunity to really get into letting go of it, of thoughts, reversing your thoughts, to think of the mind that's behind the thoughts. And this is and this is the kind of insight that informs our life and brings us to life. It brings us to life. And I don't know exactly how it works. Really don't. I mean, but it works. I do know that it works. I really recommend, you know, that this time, really use this time to foster this way of knowing, to encourage yourself in that direction, to honor that kind of mind that gives rise to Bodhi, the mind, the Bodhi mind. So this is really a time for fostering this mind, fostering this awareness. And then, you know, we're gonna do, you know, we're gonna serve meals and eat food, and we're gonna do these other very practical things that we need to do as human beings. And we can see, well, how is this insight informing, you know, my you know, tasks that I have to do. And almost everybody here is contributing, you know. I think everybody here is contributing, you know, to this, making this happen. This is a joint endeavor. You know, we're all pulling on the oars the next couple of days. And we do so with this background.